Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. Jesus taught a parable about a vineyard owner that hired workers early in the morning. Then he went out and got laborers four more times throughout the day. When it came time to settle, the foreman paid everyone a full day's wages, and the first crew felt cheated because they had toiled a whole day in the sun and received the same amount. But here's the twist. For all the talk of money, that's not even what the story is about. Then the mother of James and John came to the God-man with a special favor regarding her sons that filled the rest of the apostles with resentment and anger. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And we're going to be talking today about the first shall be the last. That's a strange title. Take it from the Bible. Let's pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for these moments I have here today. And Lord, as we look upon this event in the life of Jesus, I pray right now, Lord, that you will speak deep to our hearts, that you will get into our soul and spirit and break us loose from the bondage that so many of us have, spiritual bondage, that we shall understand. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The vineyard owner, Matthew chapter 20. I'm reading to you now from my outline. A number of years ago, I visited a home improvement store, and I saw a cluster of men standing in the parking lot. That happened to me several times. I didn't understand why they hung out in the parking lot. Then one day, a church member who had a car washing dealership told me this: I'm going to go today to this home improvement lot and get myself some workers. I said, why do you go to that place? He says, well, there are people standing in a parking lot that most of them are Mexicans that are day workers. And they don't have a regular job. They can just go down to the parking lot. And there's a lot of contractors that know that, and they drive down there to get some cheap labor. And they work for a day, and then they just drop them off. So that is what a day worker is. So in Matthew 20 now, we're going to read about some day workers. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Notice now, the kingdom of God is like this. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Penny here is a common name for a Roman coin called denarius. It was a silver coin. And its value was, in our time, 32 cents. That was a wage for a Roman soldier. That was a weight for these people. 32 cents a day. They didn't have an inflation. The 32 cents went a long way. Let me try to put a perspective on you. In the 1870s and 1880s, they had cattle that they raced out here in the West. And then they would put them on, either drive them to Chicago where they had the slaughterhouses, or they would put them on train later on. And in 1880, 1870s, you could buy a cow, a beef cow, for $1. $1. So the people of a ranchers, cowhands, that would work 6 months, 8 months to raise the cattle, they drive it in, and they get $1 apiece. And that was good money in those days. Verse number 2. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Now, the owner returned to the marketplace at 9 a.m. I put our time in here. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing out of the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Then we read this. And he went out about the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and did likewise. So in other words, this owner went out at noon. He went out at 3 p.m., and he hired more laborers and sent them to his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw them standing out in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also to the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went up out about the sixth at the ninth hour, and did likewise. Now verse 6 is interesting. About the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. And he said unto them, why stand you here all day idle? They said to him, because no man hath hired us. He says unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. He went out and hired people 1 hour before the workday was over. So now, the men who had worked 12-hour shift, they expected we should get more. So in verse number 8, we read this. So when the evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers, give them the hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they were hired about the 11th hour. They received every man a penny, 32 cents. Picture this now. Here's a group of laborers standing there now. They worked all day long, some more or less, and they expected to get paid. Here comes a group now that worked 1 hour, and suddenly the people realized they're getting a penny a day. That's what we were told we would get. That means that we should get more because we put in more time. And when they received it, but when they first came, they supposed that they should have received more. They likewise received every man a penny. And they didn't like it. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house and said, these last have wrought but 1 hour. You have made them equal unto us, which are born the burden and heat of the day. So these people said, now, this is not fair. These guys worked 1 hour, they get the same pay as we worked all day, 12 hours. It was hot. We worked hard. And you're going to pay us the same as the guys that work 1 hour? They were upset. The vineyard owner responded to the complainers that he had fulfilled the terms of the agreement. Did he not pay them a penny? Then he questioned why he wasn't free to as he pleased with his money. There apparently envy wasn't his fault if he wanted to be generous. Now, what is the vineyard? We read in verse 1, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man. So on my first page of the outline, I said this. If you haven't figured it out, God is the owner of the vineyard. And this parable, he reserves the right to call sinners to repentance at different times. Some people respond early in life and receive the promise of eternal life in heaven. These men and women devote a lifetime to the Lord. Others are called at later times, some just before they die. Regardless of when a person responded to God's call, everyone receives eternal life in heaven. Many are called to salvation, but few respond to the invitation. And we read here in verse number 16. So the last shall be the first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. To be a pastor of a church is not an easy job. For years, I've said to be a pastor is like running a nursery. And it is difficult because people think and do different what they should do. I noticed this, that I have people that have been with me for many years. And maybe some been over 20 years, 30 years, whatever. Been in the church a long time. And they see new people coming in. So when I pay attention to new people, there's something in the air. And they say, what do you pay that much attention to that guy for? Or this person? Well, I want to plug them in. Well, how long are they going to stay? Because we also notice this, that people come and people go, blessed be the Lord. Some people have been with me for 20 years, 30 years. And some people have been with me less time. Some people lasted here maybe a month. Some people lasted a half a year. And they were very gung-ho. And then they evaporated. So when it comes now, what we should do is simply this. You want people to be saved. So you accepted Christ as a young person, when you're young, and you put in many years. And here's the deal. You will get eternal life. But so will a guy retrieve eternal life. That on his deathbed, he might be a scoundrel. He might divorce 18 times. He might be a murderer. And on the last breath, he said, go, God, please forgive me. Save me, Jesus. And Jesus came in and saved the guy, and he reached eternal life. And he's going to get eternal life just like you that labored for 50 years. He doesn't sit well with us in the flesh. So what Jesus told this parable is simply this. Do not be jealous. Do not be envious of somebody else. Be happy that you are saved. I tell you what, right now, most of us do not really appreciate our salvation. That's including me. I really can't understand it. But I tell you what, the moment you get the little tap on the shoulder, you look around, here's an angel saying, well, good morning, good evening. I have a flight for salvation for you. And we're going to take you right now to your flight to heaven. And you see your body drops, and you get out of your body, and you stand there. At that moment, you're going to say, praise God, I'm not going to hell. That's what you appreciate it. Because hell is a bad place. It's a horrible place. But you know, the lake of fire is worse. And at the moment that you drop your body and you're told you're going to heaven, you will realize this. It was grace that put me in the kingdom of God. All of us have screwed around over the years. Drinking, smoking, chasing, stealing, lying, doing all kinds of different things. Some people have got straight more or less, but very few people have stayed straight. And to realize that we are saved. That's when we really appreciate it. So when you see someone on a deathbed, and you pray with them, and they receive Christ, and they're going to get the same salvation as you will, be rejoicing. Don't say, well, I put in so many years, this guy just barely made it. He will get the same. We all get the same, regardless of the time we come in. And we need to understand that, accept it, and thank God for what we have. The next topic we're going to talk about today is revealing his death and resurrection. After Jesus taught this parable, he continued toward Jerusalem. And he took the 12 apostles aside to warn them about his upcoming death. And for some reason, somebody's glued my papers together. There we go. So let's read Matthew 20, 17. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in a way and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests, unto the scribes. They shall condemn him to death. They shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Notice now, this took place about 4 to 5 days before the crucifixion. This was the last journey Jesus did from Galilee to Jerusalem. He had about five days left of time on this earth. And he realized now that, man, my disciples, they're not really ready. I got to talk to them. He took them aside. And did they understand it? Not really. Because they had a different vision. All the apostles thought about the kingdom of Israel. They had not really never understood the kingdom of God, the suffering Messiah, paying for the sins of the world. They hadn't understood that. If you look in Mark chapter 10, to see what Mark is saying here, Mark chapter 10, and we pick it up in verse number 32. And they went away, going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. As they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen to him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man shall be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, so they shall condemn him to death. They shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, shall scourge him, shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. Now, how would you feel if you would have some thugs coming in here and arresting me? And I told you before they come in that I'm going to be arrested today. They're going to torture me. They're going to do all kind of things. And then they're going to hang me. Would you get excited? Oh, that's exciting. When is it going to start? The disciples were shocked. In Luke chapter 18, we pick this up here, verse number 31 to 34. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, shall be mocked and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. They shall scourge him, put it to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of the things, and the saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. This is what I feel as a preacher. I get up here week after week. I did a message here today on the NIP, and told you about the election and how things are set up. And I will say this, that most people that heard that today, what I said, they simply said, okay, all right, what's next? No big deal. We are not able to understand, we need to do something. If you find out, and I had this problem for some years, I had mice in the house. And there's nothing worse when you come home and you turn on the light and you see three mice dancing on the carpet. And you know that you can't shoot them because they'll destroy the furniture. They're too fast for you. And so they just go under the furniture. And you know that's where they are sitting. And you can't just flip things out to do it. There's only one way to do that. You got to outsmart them. And I learned this, that mice like cheese. Not any type of cheese. They like cheese that is in chunks that you cut. And you put a little trap out. Now, mice do not eat in the daytime. They wait until you go to bed. So what I did at that time, many other times, I put my traps out. I simply said, okay, mice, good night. I'm going to go to bed. You go to bed too. And then sometimes I heard, and I knew that I got one. Got out in the morning, there they lay, next to the cheese. And I picked them up, dropped them in the garbage can. I fight smart, okay? I didn't get my shotgun out. I didn't get any guns out trying to shoot them. You make too many holes. This is how we should fight in the political world and in our lives. Smart. Realize this, that if you want Joe Biden to be president next year, do nothing. And he'll be there for you. If you don't want him there, you got to do something. Let's talk about a self-request now. Have you got back in Matthew chapter 20, verse number 20? Have you read that here? Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with his sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. Now, who were Zebedee's children? John and James, the apostles. She came with a very selfish request. She said this, and Jesus said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your kingdom." What kingdom was she talking about? The kingdom of Israel. She did not think about the kingdom of God. It was the kingdom of Israel. And he said unto her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on your right hand and the other on the left in the kingdom." But Jesus answered, said, "You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" And John and James said, "We are able." We have a song. "We are able," said the Master. It's a nice song. We sung it from time to time. So they said, "Yeah, we are able to do that." He said unto them, "You shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. But to sit on my right hand on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them from whom it is prepared of my Father." Jesus simply told them this. He didn't correct them and said, "I'm not talking about the kingdom of Israel, talk about kingdom of heaven." He is going to have the kingdom of Israel in the south of your kingdom. And he's going to rule out of Jerusalem, and that's going to be people sitting on his right and left hand. But Jesus said, "No, that is not for me to give." So what should we do? Should we try to get positions in heaven? I know one thing. I'm out of a job in heaven. You might be a plumber. You might be an electrician. You might be an IT guy. You might be different things. You know, might be jobs for you. But there's no need for preachers in heaven. When we go to the next place, there's no preaching. Everybody's saved. So I don't know what I'm going to get. But whatever I get, I'm going to say, "Thank you. I appreciate it." Whatever it is, first of all, I'm thankful I'm in heaven. And whatever I get, I'm going to be thankful for. I'm not going to argue and say, "Well, I don't like that. Look at this. Look at Satyrus. He's got that big throne up. He's running a solar system. And you're giving me here to run a little moon? I did more than he did here." That's what I think. That's not what God thinks. So be content. In the outline there, we wrote this. It is interesting to note that the Apostle James never had a chance to develop his ministry after the day of Pentecost. He was arrested shortly thereafter and King Herod ordered him beheaded the next day. If you flip quickly to the book of Acts, chapter 12, that's the book of Acts, chapter 12, and we pick it up in verses 1 and 2. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Now think about this. James had been with Jesus for 3.5 years. He was given power to cast out demons, power to heal the sick, power to give sight to the blind. He had all the things. He learned everything. He was just as educated as all the others. And he never had a chance on this earth to work out his apostleship. He lasted 2-3 months, and it was over for him. What was God's reasoning? Why did it happen? Well, if you read the rest of the book of Acts of chapter 12, was the church did not pray for protection. The church were busy. They had a good time. They didn't think what the enemy could do. And it was not until after James was killed that they started to pray earnestly, and then the angel saved Peter. What is John going to do in heaven? I'm sure that Peter and all the others are going to say to James, you know, we worked hard after Jesus left us. We got the gospel out. We preached. It was hard work. We were persecuted. And we were all killed for the name of Jesus, except John, who died of old age. Do you think they're going to say that up to Jesus and say, you know, James, did it? He didn't work here on earth. He didn't do what we did. I don't think that they're going to say nothing. They're going to simply say this. I'm thankful I'm here in heaven. I'm thankful for what God will give me. In verse number 24, we read this. Actually, in Matthew 20 here, in verse number 24. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. I mean, they started, who are these guys? I've got the nerve to go and ask Jesus behind our backs. You ever been to a church fight? Church business meeting, they are lovely. I want you to see Jesus now. Jesus knew, I have 5 days left. And here these turkeys are fighting, tearing each other up. Did Jesus get nervous? No. Did Jesus get anxious? No. If you would have been Jesus, you would have said, oh, man, I got 5 days, I'm going to be crucified, and these guys are fighting here, and it's going to fall apart. The church is going to fall apart. You know how we worry? We have demons that play a violin for us. Oh, how bad it is. Oh, how bad it is. Blood pressure up. You go cross line like this and says, oh man, this is bad. And Jesus said, where's your faith? Here's what Jesus did. He called on them and said, you know that the prince of the Gentile exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whoso will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Why was Jesus not moved? He knew the Holy Spirit. He knew that when he was crucified, when he was arrested, they would all flee. And they all sat around like rabbits, scared rabbits, for 3 days and 3 nights, and couldn't have figured out what happened. But Jesus knew the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down, baptized each one of them, 120, and they went from warriors to warriors. And they got out on the streets and started preaching Jesus. He knew the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with us today. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. But most of us ignore the Holy Spirit. We got our own program. So I have 3 points there. No one was going to be in charge. In this church, I happen to be the pastor, but I'm not in charge of you. You might be a deacon or an elder, but you're not in charge of anyone. We are servants. We are serving one another. There's only one king in this church, and that's King Jesus. The Holy Spirit is a power. Anyone that decides to be in charge will be a servant. And Jesus did not want people to serve in the sense of earthly kings. The Messiah came to serve and to sacrifice his life on the cross for sin. Let's summarize this message. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. That's Ephesians, the second chapter. And we're going to read from verses 8 and 10. And this is what I wrote here. It doesn't matter if a person is saved as a child or on a deathbed. Salvation is the same for everyone. It is a free gift that cannot be earned. If you read this, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So we are saved by grace. I gave my life when I was 3 years old. Committed to Christ when I was 4 or 5 years old. Recommitted my life when I was in 1965, when I was about 23 or 24 years old. And I walked with the Lord since 1965. My salvation is the same as if we got a person coming off the street today and comes in here and gets saved. And then he drops dead. He gets the same salvation as me. The same. No more, no less. We all get the same. But there will be rewards. And I want you now to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to pick it up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 11. For out of foundation can no man lay, that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's our salvation. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall yet so as by fire. So there will be rewards. I was at the hospital yesterday, and I was driving down one of our parishioners, and was a discussion about a hip problem. So a very nice doctor. He was from India. And a skilled surgeon. So we watched on the screen the x-ray of this person's pelvis and hips. And the surgeon pointed out and said, well, you know, you have this much bone here, you got this there, and so on. So at this point, you don't need surgery. There's no damage done to you. He said, if you have therapy and you exercise, do a few things, he said, you can actually improve your hip. Well, that's good news. I mean, you know, at the time you're cut, I mean, you don't want to be cut as little as possible. But I'm going to talk about that surgeon now. That surgeon was born in India. He was born in southern India, and which used to be a Portuguese colony, which I did not remember. So he had a Portuguese name, but he was an Indian. And he was born in a village. Someplace. Somehow, he ended up in the United States. He applied himself in high school. He applied himself in college. He applied himself medical school. And he's one of the chief surgeons here in the Sacramento area when it comes to hip replacements. He's a fabulous worker. Now, there were people in that village where he lived that today are pushing carts in India. Some of them might be doing something else, but they have low-income jobs, and they don't have a whole lot. And this guy is here. Now, he probably have to pay off his student loan. He's not a Democrat. You've got to pay it off if you're not a Democrat. And but he has a wife and children, and he has enough income coming in that he can build himself a nice future and a retirement. So what made this boy in India different from the other boys in his village? And the answer is, he applied himself. I'm sure in that village, if they had a chance, we could have picked out two or three other boys, put them through the same school. They could also be doctors. But they didn't become doctors because they didn't have a chance. They didn't apply themselves. Here you are now on earth. You're born again, you have eternal life. And now, Jesus has been telling you through the Bible that I want you to work in my kingdom. I want some laborers. And if you do this, he said, you will be rewarded. In the next universe we're going to go to, we're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ. We're going to develop that. It's a brand new creation. And so we're going to be working for Christ. What are you going to do? Well, first of all, This guy from India could not have been a doctor unless he had maturity. I couldn't do that. I couldn't cut the guys up, see the blood coming out and stuff like this. I would get emotional. But these guys don't get emotional. It's just like you're cleaning up a fish. They are stable. I ask you this. Are you stable emotional? Most people today have an arrested development spirit. And you're basically children emotionally. So now, why don't you work on to grow? You do that by having that spirit cast out, and then you grow automatically. So we're going to look now in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 as we wrap this message up here. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to pick it up in verses 9 and 11. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. To you in the chapel, to you that are watching us, you have eternal life if you accepted Christ. You're good. But what position are you going to have in heaven? Here you lived on earth 50 years, 60 years, 40 years, whatever age you are. But I want you to get the perspective. Once we get to the new creation, you are not going to age. You're going to be the same. You don't age. A million years later, you look the same as you did the first day. You're going to live now for a million years, 5 billion years, zillions of years, and you keep going on and on. What kind of a job do you want to have in eternity? I want to have a good job. I want to have a meaningful job. I like to be creative because God is creative. How do you prepare? By doing the works of Jesus. Sharing the gospel. Praying for the sick. Casting out demons. Doing things in the kingdom of God. Bringing people in. That's what we're doing here. That's the preparation. And when you do that, you mature. You become stable. So when you come on the other side, God can give you an assignment because you are stable. This doctor I talked about, the superior, the managers of UC Davis, they like this guy. He's stable. They want to pay him. They want to give him what he needs because he's doing the job. Some of you here have been very successful. You've been builders. Some of you have been in professions. Some of you have been office workers. Some of you have been this or that, and you've been successful. And that's good. Now, try to apply this to prepare for the next life. I know a guy. Matter of fact, his name is Matthew. And I talked to Matthew a few years ago, and he was trying to work on his master's degree. And he was thinking, oh, it's a lot of work and so on. I said, Matthew, stay with it. Study. It will pay dividend later on. You might have to sacrifice some time now, but do take the classes, do it. Well, the guy was smart enough, he did it. And he got a certification, he got his degree, and so on. And now, he was someone that, he's working in the nuclear industry, he was someone that was desirable. So he got a better job. And now he's advancing in that because he laid a foundation. And now he's building on that. Lay a foundation now when you're here. Because once you leave this earth, you are not going to go to classes anymore. You get more knowledge. But the maturity you have here when you die, the skills you have learned when you are here to manage people and to be stable is what you're going to have for eternity. Think about that. So I have one more scripture to read here. Revelation chapter 20. That's Revelation chapter 20. I don't want any one of you to come up to me in heaven and say, Pastor, if I would have known that there were jobs up here that I could have, but you didn't tell me. Yes, I did tell you. Don't complain. When you're standing outside to go into the judgment seat of Christ and you're sweating, don't look at me. I told you everything here. I warned you the best of my ability. The problem is that most people goes in here and whoo, out there. So sad. Revelation 20, 4 through 6. And I saw thrones, and I sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They lived and reigned. That means they got jobs, different positions. You're not going to be in the 1,000-year kingdom. That's where we start first, before we go to the new creation. So when you get up there, are you going to reign with Christ? Or are you going to clean for Christ? It's up to you. So today, what I want you to do is this. You know that in the next life, there are going to be jobs. There are going to be positions. You're saved. We're all going to get down that salvation. But there's going to be different levels of jobs. And I want to have a meaningful job that would last for eternity. How about you? Well, this is where you go to school, and this is where you learn. There's always someone listening that is not saved. These videos go on for, could be going on for years, depending upon when the Antichrist is coming. And so you watch me today, and you are not a Christian, and you didn't really know about Christianity. And it's interesting to you. And you feel that you want to be saved. You need to be saved because you're a sinner. Here's how you get in. Confess that you're a sinner. Ask God to forgive you. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Confess that you believe he died on the cross, rose on the third day, and he paid for your sins on the cross, and he came back resurrected. And then say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want you to save me. And Jesus will. Because Jesus will never turn anyone down. Anyone coming to him and saying, forgive me, I want to be saved. Jesus said, come on in. We clean you up and I will save you. When we finish here, Last prayer will be done. Screen will change for you. Three crosses coming up. Pastor Charles will say, my friend, he spent 10 minutes with you, and he will show you Bible verses and let you know how to be saved and pray with you. Do that today. And if you do that, and when you do that, will you contact us? I want to rejoice with you. I want to rejoice with you in the name of Jesus. And to those of you that are saved, some of you probably might get offended today. Too bad. I'd rather offend you and poke you a little bit than you growing. But take the rest of the day off when you come back home, or when after the broadcast is over, and something said this. Jesus, what kind of degree do I have for heaven? What kind of training do I have? I'd like to grow. Ask him, what do you want me to do, Jesus? And then step out. The first thing is this. Be a soul winner. That's where you start. Share Christ with people. Doesn't mean you go down to the grocery store and you pull the fire alarm, stand in the middle of the store and say, "Hey, you sinners, be saved!" No. You witness when people are open and you can. That's all I can do for you today. I warned you. And you know what? I will see you in heaven. I'll talk to you then. Here's our Thomas.
Father God, we thank you for the word. And we got 66 books in the Bible that all proclaim Jesus Christ. And it's a very good foundation. So help us to continue to study the blueprint and understand the foundation, and then we can go forward. So thank you, Father, for your many wonderful blessings. We have so much to be thankful for. Thank you for the beautiful weather that we have today. We thank you that we have, we're surrounded by orchards and trees and your creation that sustains mankind. We thank you for that, and we thank you also for all the conveniences and the technology that we have to get us from point A to point B. And we live a very blessed life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just 1 commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past. And there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. So act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 52nd part in the series, The Gospel of Matthew, and was entitled, The First Shall Be Last. Jesus taught about a vineyard owner that hired workers early in the morning and got more laborers throughout the day. When it came time to settle, the foreman paid everyone a full day's wage. The first crew felt cheated because everyone received the same pay. But that's the way it works with salvation. Some come early to the Lord, some late, but all receive the same reward. Then the mother of James and John requested that her sons be granted the honor of sitting on either side of Jesus' throne when He established the expected Kabbalistic kingdom. You can imagine the indignation of the other apostles. Love and unity were replaced with resentment and anger, and Jesus settled the matter with an illustration of how things work in the kingdom of heaven. The Messiah did not come to be served, but to minister
and to sacrifice his life on the cross for sin. Therefore, serve God with integrity and humility, and your reward will be great in heaven. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1951. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.